Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, folks. Thanks for joining me tonight. My name is Mudtoe Sasquatch. This is my program, Mudtoe at Midnight. I do apologize for speaking in low tones this evening. As you've probably figured out, as longtime listeners have probably figured out by now, this is a cell phone episode, meaning that I am at my folks' place for the weekend, and at midnight on a Friday night, they are asleep, like many, many civilized people are. So I try and keep my voice down so I don't disturb them. Fortunately, I will speak loudly enough to disturb you guys, which is sort of my job. It's sort of, what is the saying, to disturb comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable or something like that. That's sort of the mood I'm in tonight. Many apologies if that's not what you came in, not what you signed up for. But hey, that's what happens. You know, we pick an internet show to listen to, and sometimes you don't know quite what you're going to get. But what will you get from Mudtoe? You'll get what's on my mind. You'll get it honestly. You'll get the way that I see things. That's what I've been called to do, and that's what I'm going to do. So, thanks once again for joining me this evening. One sort of bit of unfinished. What was I going to say? Last week, you may recall, I reported I spent some time with at our local arena watching our NHL hockey team lose their game with 3 seconds left to go. I do wish to congratulate our hockey team this week because they have turned it around. They've won, until tonight they had turned it around. I guess maybe I should just stop watching them. That should probably be a key because this week when I wasn't watching them, they won 3 games and clinched a playoff spot for only the second time in the team's existence. So kudos to the hockey team. They're the Columbus Blue Jackets. I'm in Columbus. Sometimes I have this thing where I like to try to be all dark and mysterious about my whereabouts and where I am. This is Columbus. Columbus, Ohio is where I am. It's Columbus Blue Jackets. They made the playoffs, and good for them. So I did want to make sure I mentioned that. Also, to my friend Jake, who provided the ticket to last week's hockey game. Pleasant journey to him. He left this week on his way to the United States Navy to serve and to protect. That's actually a police thing, isn't it? But I guess it could apply to the Navy too. He's gone to defend his country, and of course that's got to admire that. I can quibble with what my government does, but I'm disrespect it. I mean, a choice like that, certainly I wouldn't. Something that I would never have the guts to do, which is to go off and possibly put myself in harm's way to defend the nation. So kudos to him. He's a great kid, and I wish him all the best. So there's that taken care of. On Sunday, did Jake come along with us on Sunday? I'm actually not recalling if he. I don't think he was there. Was he? I don't remember. Anyway, on Sunday we went. It was like 2 days after last week's show. I received a call from Chief Hoop Watcher and his family to accompany them to on an outing. Not too far from our city in the Midwest, where his son had once played on a college soccer team. And we went out there, and this college that we went to is, and I mean this, I don't mean this in any sort of, I don't mean any disrespect by this. The place we went is literally in the middle of nowhere. I mean, we were in the middle of this field. And we turned right, and there was this college, just kind of plunked down in the middle of this this big field, and there was a by gosh soccer stadium there, and we saw the little school play, our big school from Columbus. And of course the big school won, because that's what happens in these things. It was a scrimmage, it wasn't an actual game. They were just down there to practice and get ready for the season. But we went and we sang soccer songs. Never actually done that before. That was a lot of fun. We beat on drums, which is something that we do a lot in a spiritual connection, not so much in any sports fandom connection, but we did that. Banged on drums and sang the soccer songs. You know, I hesitate to try and sing one now because I don't want to wake up the house. But you know what I'm talking about. If you ever watch Premiership soccer, you know, English soccer or anything like that, even you hear the songs in some of the better attended MLS games here in the States. You just kind of hear them being played in the background. You really can't understand any of the words because probably I imagine some of the people who are singing them may have had a little bit to drink. But there are a few songs that Pip Watcher's son had. I don't know whether he made them up, but he knew them. They were sort of kickoffs on sort of traditional soccer songs, the tunes that you hear. They were like two or three different tunes to soccer songs. And he had made some that were specific to his alma mater. And we sang away, had a good old time. And after the game, we went to a house, which the story was the house where Dante, Iggy's son, lived while he was going to school at that place. But I mean, he didn't live there anymore, and I was a little bit confused as to what the connection was, because the people we were there with, they didn't seem to live at that house either. So I was really wondering, you know, did we belong in this place? And we just sort of showed up at this house and we started using the grill. You know, we grilled out hot dogs and had a bunch of snacks that we brought along and sat on the porch and pet the dogs, and we played badminton, and I'm not sure who among us there was connected to this house. I don't know why it was that we were. I don't know. We just show up at this house and start having this party there when we weren't. When no one had given us permission to be there. I was actually rather concerned the duration of our stay there, but we escaped without incident. Came home. It was a good day. I got a nice little sunburn out of it. Not too bad. Nothing that hurt very much at all. But I had some color on my face that was noticed by people when I got to work the next day. It's nice to be noticed for, you know, whatever reason. It was just for being sunburned. The rest of the week has been taken up, unfortunately, with taxes. And I can't remember whether I spoke about this last week or not. My concern was, I was trying to do my taxes. I've done my taxes myself for, you know, as long as I can remember. You know, I use software sometimes. Sometimes I just do it on paper. And I was trying to do the software myself, and the things were. The big difference this year was I have income from six different sources. I have four W-2s and two 1099s. And I didn't remember this before, but they want you to fill in all the information from the W-2. I mean, your employer's address and all his various code numbers, so forth. And, every time I try, I'd start to do that. I'd think, why do they want this information? I'd start to get a little bit frustrated and a little bit paranoid. And so the days, you know, Monday kind of slipped into Tuesday, and Tuesday slipped into Wednesday, and I wasn't making a whole lot of progress. And then after I got out of work on Wednesday, I was walking, I walk from work, when I get out of work, I walk to the bus stop. Actually, I walk two bus stops down because if I have time, the bus doesn't come right away, and I like to try and get a little bit of exercise in. So I was walking, and I went past the H&R Block, the tax location. I shouldn't have mentioned the name, I'm sorry. But a well-known tax preparation firm. I walked by the place, and there was this lady out front who sort of recruited me. She says, "Oh, come on in, get your taxes done." And it was one of those things of someone being in exactly the right place at exactly the right time. You know, I had never really considered going to a tax preparation place and paying some sort of massive fee to do what, you know, clearly I would be able to do myself. But I figured, what the heck, you know, I haven't done that. I haven't been making any progress on my own. And, you know, maybe they have some sort of insight that I don't have and that they could help me out. And at the very least, I could study what it was they were doing and use it myself in future years. You know, why not? It did help me. Years and years ago, when would this have been? I was living in Dover, Ohio at the time, so it had to have been sometime between 1988 and 1995, so sometime in the early 1990s probably, I went to the H&R Block Tax School, which, as I remember, took place over four consecutive weeks, one night a week, like 2 hours a night for four straight weeks. And then you took your exam, which was you prepared a return that they put together for you. And I did well enough to qualify. You know, I could have worked for H&R Block, and for whatever reason I didn't. I don't remember. The details are escaping me. But at one time, the point of the story is, at one time, I took the H&R Block tax course with the idea that I might become a preparer. And the bad thing about being a preparer, which is a bad thing, it's the same thing as the bad thing about what I'm doing now and grading standardized tests. It's you can't do it all year round. They just hire you for the few months out of the year that people are worried about such things. And then for the rest of the time, you have to do something else. So I guess apart from being frustrated about the whole process, I was also felt some sort of kindred, felt some sort of kinship, I guess is the word I'm using, or want to use, with the tax preparers, this woman who came out to speak to me. So that night I gathered up all of my various paperwork, and after work on Thursday, which was yesterday, I went to have my taxes prepared professionally, first time in my life. And the minute I walked in the place, I knew I was in trouble. Because I couldn't find that person who had originally recruited me. She wasn't there. And this gentleman waited on me, and I just got this incompetence vibe off of the guy immediately, that this is not the person I wanted to be talking to. And I was kind of hoping was he was going to make an appointment for me to see somebody else, but he didn't. He took me back to his desk, and he started running through the things, and he did. First of all, he went through all this sort of onerous work that I didn't want to do about, you know, plugging in the, well, back up. We started the return, and I had actually started my return in two different places on H&R Block's website and on TurboTax's website, seeing if one or the other of them would let me skip that thing about filling out all the information that it would too. Well, then when I had him start it, all the information that I had typed in for both of them, both the H&R Block and the TurboTax, showed up on his report, which kind of alarmed me. I said, "What? How is it that they're able to? I don't remember giving permission for that. You know, how is it that someone is able to come in? I guess that permission is implied from, you know, giving them my Social Security number or whatever." Which all the information that I had already typed in was imported, it was all already there. surprised and alarmed me a bit. So anyway, he had that to start with, the gentleman who was preparing my return, and he started slogging through the rest of it. So I sat there, I had some almond slivers, and I was snacking on those while he was working, with absolutely no shame at all. And he got to the W-2s are easy, it's just he's just transcribing information, but first of all, one of the 1099s is the one that I do the filming of football games in the fall. And with that one, I take a deduction for the mileage, you know, to drive the games and back. And I started explaining this to him, and he was just completely befuddled by it until he had absolutely no idea what to do. And he called a supervisor over to help him, and the supervisor kept coming over from time to time to help him out. And basically the supervisor was just telling him what to do. As we're going through this thing step by step, I'm thinking they're doing the same thing that I did on the return last year. You know, they're not doing anything different. You know, I was hoping to gain some sort of insight into how they would this stuff should properly be done. And I cannot say I learned anything except that they gave me this repairer who really was not. He was not ready for this. He was not ready for any return, you know, more complicated than just plug in a W-2. And I found that upsetting. You know, I ended up sitting there for 3 hours because I spent a lot of time just sitting in the chair, both of us waiting for the supervisor to be able to come over and help. I'm going to skip a lot of it because this is just, I could tell you a lot more of stuff happening, but it's boring. I'm going to cut to the chase. Get everything done for me, and the news on the taxes wasn't as bad as I had feared it might be. But then I saw the bill, and they were hitting me up for $420 for preparing my taxes. I had no idea it was going to be that much, and he had said nothing. The preparer had said nothing to prepare me for that. One would think that they would run through, that would be the first thing they would do is run through what these various services cost before they started working on it. So, you know, I'm going to take it as a lesson learned. It's just money, he said. And he weeps because I don't have a lot, but certainly that's an experience I can come on the radio show and talk about. But, man, it was frustrated. I was angry. I was angry sitting there in this quiet, you know, in this quiet office, just wanting to just cut loose and yell at people at the same time, knowing that wouldn't accomplish anything. So anyway, the practical upshot of it was, as I came home, I come here to get the money to pay, beg my parents for the money to pay for H&R Block. And something I find as time goes on and I don't have full-time employment, my level of tolerance for shame when it comes to growling to my parents for money, gets lower and lower. I mean, it gets less and less, I guess would be a better way to say that. They still take care of my vehicle, which used to be their vehicle. And then I come back and I need money, not to pay my taxes, but to pay H&R Block. It's an exercise in humility for me. And also a continued desire to be an independent person. I really can't say I was an independent person when I was working for Ohio State because a significant portion of my cash came from student loans, which now have to be repaid, and a big part of the reason I'm in the predicament I am. But at least at that time, I wasn't I wasn't soaking money off of someone else. And now I find I am often in that position that I have to depend on others to keep me going. And, you know, I'm awful old for that shit. These are things that need to change. So I was, I spent some time with a couple of my new age friends trying to manifest good things. And they taught me some, I guess a new form, a different form than I was familiar with, a different form of affirmation. And we did some stuff on Monday at their office. I put some stuff, some affirmations up on Facebook on Friday. You know, you never know what these things are going to yield. But this is affirmations. You're stating as fact the situation that you want to manifest in your life. So, doing some of that, you know, can't hurt. Trying to make things happen. I brought my, I stayed the weekend here at my folks, and I brought my computer, and my little laptop computer, along with a full-size plug-in keyboard, because I can't type on the little tiny keyboard that's on the little mini laptop, with the intention that over the weekend I am going to put a serious dent. And they're writing on this book. I set an intention to get that done by August, to get that out available to people to see by August, so it has to actually be done considered for that. I really do need to apologize, I think, for the wandering character of today's show, although most of my shows do tend to wander quite a bit. I find it difficult to stay focused when I'm doing the show on the cell phone. And when I always have my parents in the back of my mind because I know they're in the house and I don't want to wake them. And I feel that, under those conditions, the show is even less well organized than usual. So I apologize for that. I was semi-asleep before the show started, and that doesn't help. I'm trying to do the show while regaining consciousness. You know, I got up at 6 in the morning to go to work. And I drove here, you know, an hour and a half. And since then, just sort of up waiting to do the show. And I nodded off for a little while, and I woke up, and it was 5 minutes to midnight. And I said, oh, I got to do the show. Jump up, get the phone, dial in the appropriate numbers, and as the show's starting, I'm still slowly regaining consciousness, I guess. So I think I'm following a reasonable line of thought here. I know there's one other thing I wanted to talk to. I was kind of debating about whether I wanted to, but there's only a couple minutes left. Maybe I should embark on that. You know, I guess I can always bail if I need to. But I went, you know, one of the issues is, I'm going to have to get this money in the bank so that I can pay H&R Block. And I had a little money to put in the bank today, and I stopped, you know, on my way after work. It works over at 4, and I go to the nearest branch of my bank, and I gotta tell you, it's like Calcutta in there, you know, packed with people of all different nationalities, different accents, in a long line waiting for, you know, two people to wait on them. And I waited for about a half an hour and decided that wasn't going to be productive, so I ducked out and I drove to the next closest branch of my bank, which happened to be in a town on the outskirts, you know, a little bedroom community on the outskirts of town. And the difference is just night and day. And what immediately popped into my head is, this is the white branch. And that was the first branch I was at was the dark skin branch, and this is the white skin branch because that's what I saw. I mean, someone could dispute that. If you have mud toe, why do you have to cast the issue that way? Why does it have to be a race thing? Well, I call it like I see it. You know, there's this the one branch is in a neighborhood dominated by dark skinned people, and the level of service was not very good. I mean, people trying to get people through that. You know, they got two people trying to wait on everybody, and nobody's being particularly helpful. That was probably a little bit too strong. I think they were certainly trying to be helpful. They didn't really have the resources required to do it. Nobody was speaking to anyone in their native language other than me. There was someone who was just waiting on merchants, which is, you know, obviously merchants are better than the rest of us, that kind of thing. Well, then I got to the other branch, and, you know, it's a much, you know, much quieter, much more roomy, all light-skinned people in there. And I just walked right up to the counter and took care of my transaction, and they had a little bit of food in there. They put out a customer appreciation day. They put out an antipasto, which was very nice. You wouldn't even suspect this was maybe a mile away from that other branch, probably not even that far. And just depending on what neighborhood you're in, what a difference that makes. Just really made an impression on me. And I know I told you again about that filming football. I'd done some work within the city. I've filmed at a large, very well-funded Catholic high school. And then a couple of miles up the road is a very badly funded city school. You say, these two schools actually exist in the same city? We look at the level of facilities at one place compared to the level of facilities of another place. And that's, you know, we fancy ourselves here in the States. We fancy ourselves to be, you know, rugged individualists. You know, we depend on nobody. We do everything for ourselves. And lack of equality in institutions and service is part and parcel of that, because money is required to make, you know, money makes the world go around, as they say. And if you don't have a lot, the things, I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, the fluffy things, the expensive things you don't need. I'm talking about basic services. I'm talking about your education. I'm talking about your banking. I'm talking about your transportation, how you play, how you get to work is dreadfully affected if you don't have the green, and if you don't happen to speak the language as well, so that people might. Okay, so I've gotten my 60-second warning, so it's going to save me from going off the deep end on this topic. Please join me next week when I should be back at my computer, ready to do a much more decent show for you. Thank you for joining me. I hope at least some of this has made a little bit of sense. And as always, your comments are appreciated on mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com. Thank you just once more, and I will talk to you next week. Bye now.